Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Panthers begin to celebrate. Panther perfection. The Florida Panthers win their second consecutive Stanley Cup.
Oh man, that was painful watching the Panthers parade with a second straight cup, a team perfectly built for the playoffs. And I imagine, like a lot of you, I was thinking about our hockey team. How many years away, besides a million, does it feel they are from their next cup? How many years away are there lessons to be gleaned from the Panthers? I guess overall, just thinking about the state of hockey right now in Pittsburgh. From ownership on down, Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers, to my left, Bob Pompiani playing golf somewhere, no doubt today. Isla, the intern, sitting across from me. We had a wonderful golf match the other day with Ben Tenuta, I might add. Sean, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Joe. Good to work with you again.
You too. Play for me the sweet sounds of not the Panthers winning the cup, but another team we know, because that also seems like, well, a million years ago.
He scores! Hagelin with 13.6 to go! And the Penguins celebrate at the bench. They almost clocked their coach. Mike Sullivan with the stray sticks. A turnaround shot that rattled wide. Subban one more try, deflected over the net, and the Pittsburgh Penguins again are the Stanley Cup champions.
Oh, man. That's what I want to talk about today, and I want to talk about it with you at 412-928-9370. Let's talk about the state of hockey in Pittsburgh, and let's start with Fenway Sports Group. And I wonder, and I was talking to a couple of people this morning, I cannot help but wonder if they have buyer's regret here, if they knew truly what they were getting into. This, from the second they bought it, was a depreciating asset. You know, they're into big name, you know, highfalutin team acquisition. I don't know that the Penguins are that. The Penguins with Sidney Crosby are that. Sidney Crosby is that. But I don't know that the Penguins fit the Fenway Sports portfolio. And certainly not at the moment, they don't. They acquired a team, they bought a team that they have since seen really disintegrate, right? Attendance going down, down, down. They were the owners when the sellout streak ended. Attendance continues to go down. Where are we going to be if the Penguins get really bad? I mean, I tend to think that while this has become a good hockey town, thanks to Mario first and then Sid, it's become a really good sort of grassroots hockey town. I still think of it more as an event town than a pure hockey town, in the sense of, yeah, people will go out and watch the Penguins no matter what. You want to bet? This gets really bad. You'll see attendance continue to go down. And when I look at it right now, coming out of the pandemic, 2019-20, they were at 18,538. That went down by about 1,000. Then it went up a little bit, went up a little bit. They're 17,909 last year. And then this year, down into the 16,000s for the first time since way back in, well, believe it or not, 08-09. And of course, you know, the dry years that led to the championship years. You know, there's probably a lesson there for the Steelers as well, which is not a single one of our Stanley Cups or Lombardi trophies in this town were born of anything but abject misery of losing. So the question now is, what kind of appetite does Fenway Sports Group have for losing? What kind of appetite do they have for a rebuild that they wanted to stave off as long as possible and got here at least a year early? Although, I still don't necessarily hear anybody over there committing to a full rebuild. The Florida Panthers spent decades in the NHL's desert. Man, they got to the Stanley Cup final in 95-96, right? We all remember who they got past to get there. So from 96 until 2022, they never got out of the first round. Think about that. That's over a quarter century drought, and most of the time they didn't even make the playoffs. The Panthers were an also-ran laughingstock for a long time. Borderline laughingstock. More a source of pity, I guess. They go to the finals in 96. They get to the playoffs the next year. They miss for a couple. Then they get there. Then they go basically on a decade-long drought. And then they go twice in about 8 years. And then all of a sudden, Bill Zito, Pittsburgh-born, I might add, comes in there and just does as good of a managing job as you'll ever see in sports. And now suddenly they're an absolute juggernaut. And it's interesting to note how they were built. But I'll get to that in a second. What I really want to start with and want to talk to you about it, 412-928-9370, is what kind of appetite does Fenway Sports Group have for a rebuild that's anybody's guess how long it'll be before the Penguins are actual contenders again? And what kind of appetite do you have for that as a hockey fan? Like, are people out there expecting this to be a Capitals situation where it's, yeah, we'll have a couple down years, but everything will be okay. Kyle Dubas knows what he's doing. We're going to be right back in the second round, like legitimately contending in a couple of years. That could happen. It could. I just kind of doubt it. You know, one of these years, Sid will fall off. The game will fall off. And then what? What are we looking at here? Nobody knows. This is in some ways uncharted territory. Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. And the Penguins' winning ways were built with superstars, generational stars. And that's the other thing, by the way, that I was thinking about as I watched, you know, Evan Rodriguez parading around with the cup. The guy who basically got kicked out of town because he took a bad penalty in the Rangers series. That's the way it always seemed to me. It really did. I thought he was a good player. He also had an incredible shorthanded goal in that series. And now the guy is a Stanley Cup warrior and a champion. But that's beside the point. I don't even remember what the point was. The appetite. How long does Fenway Sports Group want to do this? Are they getting what they paid for? Did they know this was coming this soon? Like, what's the incentive to stick this out here in Pittsburgh for them. Now, you can count me among those who surely would love to see, you know, Mario and Ron Burkle come back. But it, either way, I mean, the length of the rebuild is not going to be shortened by them. You know? 412-928-9370. Talking about the state of hockey in Pittsburgh and what exactly we're looking at here. And it is funny to look at the Panthers and how they were built. And they had 23 guys play at least one postseason game, 11. So basically half the team is free agents and 7 acquired by trade. So, you know, this idea that you just rebuild, now you parlay picks and things like that to help build yourself. But the idea that you're just going to rebuild purely through draft picks that you make and develop, I don't know how often that actually happens. You know, it happened for the Penguins. It did, but they got unbelievably lucky. You know? So 23, they got Evgeny Malkin, a generational player with the second pick. There's a lot of years where there's not a generational player with the first pick. And of course, they won the Sid lottery on, what was it, 6.25%. Oh, that's what I was saying before, is sort of the gratitude that I felt watching the Panthers parade around with the cup again. And I imagine a lot of you two did as well. Is remembering and rejoicing in how lucky we've been as a hockey town. I mean, truly, truly lucky. The people that have come through here, 3 championships for the Sidney Crosby Penguins, they delivered. They basically delivered. They were supposed to be, you know, the next version of the 80s Edmonton Oilers, and they pretty much were. Pretty much. 3 cups, 4 finals appearances. We've gone from Mario to Jágr to Sid and Gino, and that doesn't count all the other magnificent talents that have rolled through here. So it was also sort of with a sense of gratitude that I watched that happen last night. But man, can it happen again? Is that next generational star anywhere out there for the Penguins? I'm not sure I'm seeing that. I'm not sure I'm seeing a realistic path toward that. Now, the Panthers are winning without one of those. Kachuk's a great player. You know, they have a lot of great players. But they don't have that guy. 4 of the players on their team.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Were drafted by the Panthers. Now they were high picks. Barkov, who is as good a two-way center as there is in the game, was selected with the number 2 pick in 2013. They got another high pick in Sam Bennett, but that was in a trade with the Flames, a brilliant trade with the Flames. Ekblad, what was he? The third. It was the first overall pick, right? He had a great playoff. So the draft picks that they have kept and made have been big time. But they're also proof you can win if you don't have Mario or Sid, you know, or McDavid. Of course, they've never won and maybe never will. And that's another topic we'll get to. But where are we headed here? Where are we headed as a hockey town? And what about Fenway Sports Group? Right from the top. Here's a question. Do you as a fan have a clear understanding of what Kyle Dubas's roadmap is here? Or are you as confused as me? It seems to be half rebuild, half all in. Half, I want to get these core players back to a cup as soon as possible. And half, you know, this is going to be sort of, you need to be patient, you know? And those two things, Sean, don't necessarily go hand in hand. But I want to hear from people today. 412-928-9370 is where we are as a hockey town right now. I mean, do we talk a lot of hockey? No. Why? Because it doesn't sell right now and it's not that interesting. It's not. It's just not. You know, you talk Steelers. We even talk the misery of the Pirates. The Penguins have been incredibly uninteresting for a long time now. You want to be interesting, be calamitous, be like the Pirates, sink to the very bottom of the league, you know? And the Penguins hopefully are trending that way. Honestly, they kind of got there this year, but not far enough. They were still too close to the Steelers' mushy middle for my taste, but they're heading in that direction. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what Kyle Dubas actually wants. Certainly they didn't tear it down to the studs, which is what I wanted them to do. They didn't. There's still a roster that's rife with overpaid, high price, underachieving vets. They still have way too many of those guys. Can you ever really get started on what you want to do until you get out from under some of those? Plus, get out from under even guys like Raquel, who had a great year, and even Brian Rust. These are all questions for you, the hockey fan, but it starts at the top for me. And I've got to believe that good old Tom Werner, and again, if I went, you know, downtown right now and pulled aside 100 people and asked them who's the owner of the Penguins, there's a chance that 100 wouldn't know. There's a chance 100 would not know. And I'm wondering, in those boardrooms at the very corporate entity that is Fenway Sports Group, if they truly knew what they were getting here when they bought the Penguins, and if there's truly some buyer's regret. Like, what, again, what is the incentive here for them now to dig in for how many years until the Penguins are good again? They're some corporate entity from Boston. Why would they be so invested in a lengthy, long-time Penguin rebuild? And the fear here, the ultimate fear, is that you go into a Panthers-like malaise like they had for 20 years. I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to get Sid or Lemieux or build a team like this or do the Capitals thing. There's never a guarantee when the light starts to fade in pro sports of when you're ever going to get back again. Look at the Steelers of the 80s, by the way. Sean, I'm sorry. Your thoughts?
Well, a few things. One, I'm a Red Wings fan. Penguins, I think, are in a fairly similar position to where they were about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And Detroit has not made the playoffs in almost a decade.
Yeah.
And so one of the reasons is they didn't ever get a top three pick, even though sometimes they were amongst the worst in the league. Rebuilds can be very, very difficult if you don't get lucky. And you talked about how Pittsburgh multiple times has gotten lucky that has expedited rebuilds and allowed them to win these championships. But even if you do get a generational player, Chicago certainly thought that that was going to be their path. They don't look like they're particularly close, even though they got that generational player in Bedard. So things can go right, and it still takes a long time.
So if you're Tom Werner, Sean, why would you be so interested in this entity that you have in Pittsburgh? Like, all right, let's dig in for years and years. Like we could be looking at empty buildings in a couple of years. I think there's this assumption that Kyle Dubas absolutely knows what he's doing, and this ain't going to take long. Oh, no, this will be like the Capitals. It's going to be a mix of vets. They have cap space. They got tons of draft picks. This will be fine. It'll be a little bit of pain. And I'll tell you this. I think that Dubas and the Penguins from the top, from Fenway, because they're running it, are trying to get to the recovery part without ever going through, without ever hitting rock bottom, to put it in, you know, addiction lingo. They're trying to avoid all the pain that comes with this. They're trying to take a shortcut. The Capitals kind of did. Credit to them. We'll see if the Penguins can.
I think the Capitals are the outlier in how it's typically done. So I don't think you can look at that and say that's a blueprint that's going to work for every team, because I think they were pretty fortunate that it worked out and they identified some talent and got some guys that were kind of under the radar that panned out wonderfully. And you could argue that Florida did that as well. But if you're going to rebuild through the draft, through young talent, oftentimes it doesn't take 1 or 2 years of being very bad. It might take 4 or 5 years of being very bad.
Right.
And to your point, Pittsburgh fans are not used to that. I mean, you have to go back to, what, the early 2000s with the Rico Fonda and Ramsey Abid, and how that was just a miserable time for Penguins fans.
And then, Sean, they didn't just get one pick. They got Fleury, so they got their goalie first overall. Credit to them for going for the goalie. They got Sid on a 6% chance. They drafted Jordan Staal in the top five. They drafted Malkin in the top five.
Before they hit on that, all of them.
Yeah, before that, they had Ryan Whitney, I believe, was a top 10 pick that they later parlayed into Chris Kunitz. So it's like they were just rolling with top five picks year after year after year in years where there were, you know, generational to borderline generational talents available. It just it was a perfect storm created by them sucking, by the way.
Yeah, and during that time, there was fear that the team was going to leave Pittsburgh. It was not a good time to be a Penguins fan.
And would have if they didn't win a lottery.
Yeah. And it's really tough when you're used to 15-plus years of being a Stanley Cup contender every single year to go through those downtimes. Now, I do think Fenway Sports Group and management, they're acting with some reverence towards the guys that created all this winning, guys like Letang and Gino and Mike Sullivan for a long period of time, where they didn't want to maybe move off of them when they could have had more value.
They were desperate. I would characterize that as they were desperately trying to get one more run, and maybe to their detriment. Kyle Dubas came in here and sneakily tried to win a cup in his first year. No team that goes out and trades for the reigning Norris Trophy winner and takes on tens of millions of salary into his future is not trying to win a Stanley Cup. And that same team, that same offseason, signs a defenseman for $28 million. Unfortunately, his name is Ryan Graves. That was a fireable offense. Signs a goalie, a very uncertain goalie, to $28 million. Brings in a Riley Smith, brings in Achari and Nieto and Lars Eller. Kyle Dubas came in here trying to be a genius and win a cup right away, and he's still trying to dig out from that offseason.
I don't blame them for trying to win, because you knew you had these star players towards the end of their career, certainly with Malkin and Letang. You figured Crosby was going to be good for at least another half decade, which is proving to be true. But it does certainly extend and kick the can down the road on the rebuild. So maybe instead of hitting rock bottom, if you will, right now, we're probably still another year or two away from that, potentially.
Are we? Is that where we're going?
Well, we'll see.
That's part of what I want to ask people today is, where do you have a clear understanding out there? The New York Rangers sent their fans a letter a couple years ago, basically said, yeah, we're rebuilding. And it proved to be a pretty quick one, I might add. Do you as a fan understand where the Penguins are going? And do you have an appetite for it? Do you have an appetite for that? It's easy to say we want to go to the bottom and get great draft picks. That apparently is where they're headed. Apparently, I'm unclear. Like, it wouldn't surprise me this offseason if the Penguins went out and signed good players like a team trying to win would, and also got rid of good players like a team trying to lose would. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the plan is. And Sean, I don't know how long this is going to take. And the other part of the question for you out there at 928-9370 is, do you think Fenway Sports Group has the patience for this? Or do you think they're experiencing maybe a severe case of buyer's regret? Sean, I'll leave you the last word here.
I would say that more times than not, it's going to be a lengthy process. And I would think they would have had the foresight when they made the purchase to realize that this was inevitable? Because I think you and I and most Pittsburgh Penguins fans realized they were nearing the end of their run as contenders. This is just the reality in the NHL with the salary cap, is that oftentimes when you peak, there's going to be a downfall that takes quite a while for you to dig your way out of. And we've seen teams expedite it, but I think that is the outlier and not the rule. The Penguins, I think, are going to trend much more towards the Chicago Blackhawks, Detroit Red Wings type of rebuild that, quite frankly, neither one of those teams has gotten out of yet. They're still in the latter stages, and it doesn't look like they're particularly ready to break through.
412-928-9370. I want to talk about this with you, the hockey fan. You know about the history of this franchise. It's been up and down, to put it mildly. I wrote a book on the history of this franchise, Sean. Did you know that?
I did not.
You do now, and we're going to buy one on Amazon right now. It's called Tales from the Penguins Locker Room, and it's an unbelievable. There's been no franchise in history anywhere in sports like this one. The highs, the lows. Look at that. It's $15.74, and you get a 30-day return. Maybe I'll buy one for you.
I definitely will not return it if you do.
Let's see what the reviews look like on here after all these years, Sean. Shall we, or am I delving into territory I may regret? Now, this is the hardcover, and I redid the book after they won the next two cups after this, because this was originally done in 09. A collection of the greatest Penguin stories ever told, and Mike Lang did the foreword for me, Sean. Did you know that? He did two different ones.
That is an impressive pull right there to get Mike Lang's contribution.
I mean, it was like getting Myron Cope to write a foreword. I couldn't believe it for a Steeler book. You know what I mean? Mike Lang, like Cope, was, you know, if you took the five most popular personalities in team history, you'd have a couple players and Cope. You'd have a couple players and Mike. So yeah, I was very honored that he did that. Should we read some of the reviews here, Sean, or should I not?
Go for it. I think they'll all be positive. Every single one.
I don't know about that. I'll do that when we come back and hopefully have a hockey discussion, because I want to have one on the state of it in this town and where we're headed. 412-928-9370. Our six pack brought to you by Bet365. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What'd you think watching the Florida Panthers parade around with the Stanley Cup? On the verge of a dynasty here. That's a great team, by the way, Sean. I think that team could have beaten a lot of teams, a lot of Stanley Cup champions in this century since the year 2000. That is a perfectly built playoff team, from Bob right up front with you know, three centers that anybody would kill for. Although, I think the Penguins, two of the three Penguins Cup teams this century, would give them a pretty good battle and maybe win. Do you? Because when you have Crosby, Malkin, and Staal in their primes, that's better than this.
Yeah, my first thought is that the Penguins championship teams are better than Florida, but...
Not the most recent one, do you think? The one that beat Nashville? I thought that one kind of survived because of Fleury against Washington.
And I don't think Nashville was a juggernaut opponent, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a situation where, just in my head, I think, okay, the Penguins have generational players with their core. And I don't know that Florida has multiple generational players. You made that point. But overall, they're just a terrific team, and they made all the right moves at the deadline this year. Brad Marchand was incredible.
One of the greatest trade deadline acquisitions ever.
They had three or four guys who could have won the Conn Smythe. I think it was somewhat of a surprise that it was Bennett, considering that Reinhardt, albeit two empty net goals, scored four goals in the clinching game. He could have been the Conn Smythe winner. Bob could have been. Marchand. They're a very deep team, and that's not even talking about the guy that was kind of their franchise player, really their two franchise players up until recently in Barkov and Ekblad.
That leads us back into the state of Pittsburgh hockey. Where are we right now? Where are we headed? Are we headed to empty buildings? Is it going to be a quick rebuild? Is it going to be like the Panthers, 20 years basically, between advancing to the second round? And what kind of appetite does Fenway Sports Group have for this, and I put this in quotes, rebuild? And how about you, the Pittsburgh hockey fan? Let's go to the lines, Sean.
All right, we will start with Rowdy.
Rowdy Telez, how are you?
Hey, Joe, my favorite personality there. So I think the Penguins and the Steelers are very similar in the fact that they are selling out and trying to get best of both worlds at the same time.
What do you mean selling out?
They want to stick with popularity. They want to keep their guys on their team. And it's at the detriment of the future of the franchise. Like the Steelers are trying to keep, you know, Watt and Hayward and Minka. And, you know, the Penguins are doing that with their big four as well. And it's really trying to appease the fans on that aspect, but at the same time, they're putting their rebuild or their fixing of the franchise back perhaps years.
Well, a couple of things the Penguins have done that separates themselves from the Steelers. One, they moved on from, actually three things. One, they moved on from their coach. Two, they have gotten rid of a big, big name, and that was Jake Guentzel. Like, that was the first sign that, you know, we don't think we can win. And then the third thing is they have actually at least mentioned, Dan Muse certainly did, that this is going to be a time of, quote, transition. You will never, ever hear that come out of Mike Tomlin's mouth or Omar Khan or Art II. And I'm not commending them for that, by the way, necessarily. I think the Penguins are actually, you know, going to a place that you need to go to win again. But I think there are differences between the two franchises at this point. But not enough yet. I hear what you're saying. There's still too many guys around here with the Penguins who are high-priced, underachieving, and need to be gotten rid of. Thanks for the call. He seemed astounded by that, Sean.
Yeah, I thought he was going to add something, but apparently not.
Next.
Well, maybe Badger will add a little bit more. We'll go to Badger.
What's up, Badger?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
My state of thought is this. I've been a longtime Penguin fan, and Joe, you know who I am. I used to be involved with the Penguins back in the day. And I see Dubas, at this point, the trades that he made and the acquisitions that he made, they seem more like trade deadline moves in the off season than they did actually to really help the team and give itself an identity on where we're going. And now that you have so-called the Lemieux Group back interest in the team, this team's in disarray, and this is a critical year. And
a critical year to do what? Get better or get worse?
Critical year to define what they're going to do as a franchise of, we're going to do a total rebuild and then
They're not doing a total rebuild. That's out the window. I mean, can't you see that? How long have you been a Penguin fan, Badger?
Since the mid-70s.
Do you think we're headed back to a very dark period of Penguins hockey? Maybe that's where it needs to go, but I don't think for people who are newly on board, they realize what happens. Even in a town that's become more of a hockey town, if this gets really ugly, and maybe this is what they're all trying to avoid, if this gets really ugly, you're going to see 8,000 people in the seats. I can promise you that.
Exactly. I see this going back to the years right after the Penguins won the Stanley Cup with Craig Patrick at the helm. And I see it going back into the late 90s. And
well, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. I appreciate the call. I mean, they were still winning after the second cup. They went into a dark period with X Generation, right around the time they traded Jágr. So I'm not sure if people realize, or maybe I'm wrong, maybe you disagree with me, how ugly and dark this can get in this town when the Penguins are really bad. And maybe they want to avoid that at all costs, and maybe because it's become more and more of a hockey town, maybe it won't get that ugly, and maybe they can avoid it. I just think when you're trying to sort of rehab yourself, when you're trying to recover and get to a good place again, man, if you skip rock bottom, you're taking a shortcut. And that's what it feels like the Penguins are doing to me. That's what it feels like to me. 412-928-9370. Sean?
We'll go to Jim in O'Hara.
Hey, Jim.
How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
I was on vacation and at a little pub and met one of the upper echelons of management for the Penguins, and talking about both being from Pittsburgh, and I asked what was going on. I said, what about the big three? And he said they laugh at what they're paying them because it's so cheap. And I was astounded by that. And then I said, if you don't have a winning program, you're not going to fill the stadium. And again, he laughed and he said, all the season tickets are full. That stadium is paid for regardless of how many people show up. So if management doesn't see any problem with the pay, what they're paying the three of them, and they think the place is filled, where are we going to go? There's no decision to be made.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What do you? No decision to be made about what?
About are we going to start paying other players or getting better players, more volume of them? Or are we just going to pay the three highest paid and then just get one of the mill players to back them up? It's a tough way to win.
It sounds like you're being ground up in a garbage disposal. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm in my car.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you for the call. I have no idea.
Glad he's okay.
So that was hard to decipher. He said he was having a drink with a higher upper level executive for the Penguins. Is that what I was to gather there?
That their thought supposedly was they're
nothing
paying below
to see
market,
here?
Market value for their big three.
Yeah.
And they're selling enough tickets that whether the fans actually show up or not, the tickets already purchased will be enough of a profit.
Yeah. Attendance is at its lowest point in 16 years and figures to get significantly worse. So I hope that's not reflective of the attitude overall. And who cares, about if you're getting a bargain right now. Sidney Crosby's always given them a bargain. Who else are the underpaid stars on the team?
I guess Malkin and Letang would be what he was referring to. But, I mean, it certainly seems like this is the end of the road for Malkin upcoming.
I mean, is Letang is signed for the next 3 years at $6.1 million. That, to me, right now is an albatross contract, especially when you combine it with Erik Karlsson for the next two at $20 million. And then you throw in Ryan Graves for the next four.
And Jari.
Four at 20, what is it? 4, 8, 12, 16, 17, 18 million. So this franchise still has $60 million tied up in Carlson, Letang, and Graves. Oh my God. 3 more years of Tristan Jarry. And then, what are we talking about here? I don't know what we're talking about. That's the problem. I don't know what they're doing. Are they going to get rid of Carlson?
I don't know that that's going to be that easy. And we have all these extra picks now, right? It was, collecting draft picks for the next 3 years. The likelihood, if you move a guy like Carlson, is that you're going to have to attach probably some pretty good picks with it. You might be giving up, for instance, a second and let's say a fourth to move off of that contract. And you have the assets to do that, but it's not like I think some people are thinking they're going to get a player who's going to really make this team better this offseason. I think it's going to be the opposite, where there's probably going to be more subtracting talent than adding talent.
People, I would hope.
Yeah.
I would hope that's the case. Tales from the Penguins locker room, a collection of the greatest Penguin story ever told by the savvy old news sound. And it can be yours, Sean, for what did I say, $15 on Amazon? You ready for some of these reviews?
That is a bargain.
I got 0 1-star reviews. That's good, right?
Yeah, you want all the 5-star reviews.
Yeah, 81%, and the average is 4.7 out of 5. Here's a couple of them. I bought this for my sister for her birthday, who is a lifelong diehard Penguins fan, to take on a trip to Mexico to read on the plane. She said she couldn't put it down. My husband brought this book for himself. He is all about the Penguins and doesn't read many books, but this sparked his interest. He said 5 stars out of 5 stars. Now we have the bad one. It's a 2-star. I assumed this was a new book. The book I received was a used book. Very disappointing.
Well, that's not your fault.
I don't think so, no. Somebody else said, what's this guy writing about? I don't appreciate that, Sean. He didn't seem to like it. Someone else says, great book, go Pens, wonderful book. Must read for every true Penguin fan. There are a bunch of short stories with no real rhyme or reason. That was the design of the book, Fabry, whoever you are. The design of the book was a bunch of short little vignettes, Sean, with no rhyme or reason. It wasn't like a written history of the Penguins. It was a bunch of fun stories strung together. It says you have to be a diehard to read it. That's hurtful, is it not?
The good news is it seems like you said 4.7. That's outstanding.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And a lot of times people are more inclined to write reviews when they're angry about something than with praise.
You are right about that. All right, let's get to the general. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. General Patton, Jeff Patton, is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Your chance to win Starkey's Card of the Week comes from going to our website, 937thefan.com, and going to our contesting page. Very easily done, I might add. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. My guess for Card of the Week, Sean, would be Sam Bennett. How about you?
I'm going to go Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
General, how are you, and what do you got?
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me.
Sure.
Both good guesses. We're going to save Shea for next week, assuming things play out the way we thought. But it dawned on me when you guys were extolling the virtues of the Panthers. This is the Card of the Week, exemplifies exactly how deep they are. We're going with Tkachuk.
Oh.
He's the most popular hobby-wise of all the Panthers. Probably has a lot to do with the Four Nations, being an American. We're going with the Tkachuk Rookie Black Diamond Dual Jersey Booklet. It's
Holy
a phenomenal card. They only made 299 of them.
Can you say that again, General? I didn't follow that. And what exactly does it mean?
Upper Deck Black Diamond is the name of the brand, like a Mercedes or the Fan, like the brand name. It's a jersey card. They actually cut up two pieces of jersey from a jersey he wore in his rookie season. And it's a booklet. It's a double card that's hinged on the spine, and it opens like the fine book you wrote. And this reveals two pieces of jersey, and they only made 299 of them. And as many great players as Florida has, Tkachuk's way more popular inside the hobby.
Beautiful. Thank you, General. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm also, I'm also going to throw in a Tariq Skubal card. We got a rookie. His stuff's getting hot, and we get to see him up close and personal tonight.
I actually think the Pirates might get no hit tonight. I know that's not a wild prediction when this team's going against maybe the best pitcher in baseball right now. And I know Paul Skeens exists, but this guy might be the best pitcher.
That's why we had to acknowledge him in Starkey's card of the week.
Thank you, General. You're a wonderful man.
Have a great day. See you.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hot and humid with a chance of storms throughout the day with a high of Heath Miller, 83. Couldn't be nicer than the General, could they? Anyone on earth, Sean?
How about that? That was the most elaborate description I've ever heard for a trading card.
Me too.
Opens up like a book, like your book.
Yes, it does. It's exactly right.
Real quick question for you, Joe.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers, who is the first player in the franchise history that comes to your mind? I have two.
The first tie. Florida Panthers. I mean, it's got to be... I'm not filtering it, so it's Sam Bennett of all people, just because that's the first guy I think of right now. Who for you?
Van Beesbrook and
Pavel
Bure.
Yeah.
Those are the tie, because Beezer was, you know, so good for them when they went to the Stanley Cup, and that's like, I think of him from the 90s version.
Yeah.
Bure is one of my favorite players ever and one of the best goal scorers in NHL history.
Yeah, he would be, if he gave me a moment, he would be the guy that would come to mind. And the image that comes to mind is Johan Hedberg stopping him on two of three breakaways. And I think the Moose's debut was against Florida, if I'm not mistaken. And he stopped Bure on breakaways. Limits. Do you remember that?
Not many people stopped him on breakaways.
No, he was one of the greatest. One of the greatest ever. Coming up, another one of the greatest ever. Mr. Sean Gentile. Let's ask him some of these questions we're pondering. And where he ranks the Panthers among all the...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.